known that Jesus Christ is born. Good news. He was born. Even better news, he's coming back. Amen. Even in this messed up, turned over, backwards kind of world we live in, God still reigns and rules. And as we started a couple weeks ago, looking into when Jesus told his disciples to go teach, he told them to go teach the kingdom. Go teach the kingdom of God. Go teach what it means to be in the kingdom and where it's at. And later we found Jesus discussing with some of the Pharisees, and they asked about the coming of the kingdom. And he said, the kingdom is within you. And he told that to the Pharisees. And a man that I know and love, as I was explaining him that on Wednesday evening, he said, but there's other Greek translations that say Jesus didn't really say that. Well, Jesus really did say that, that the kingdom of God is within you. And he told that to the Pharisees. It's not just by you or near you or close to you, although all those are true. Jesus told the Pharisees that the kingdom of God was within them. Not that they believed in him or not that they knew him as their Lord and Savior, because they held on to their rigid beliefs about God, about the kingdom. But they didn't know the real kingdom. I think that's why Jesus told his disciples to go to the lost sheep of Israel and proclaim the kingdom of God. And then as I was been thinking about over the weeks and months before I started this, there's not much teaching about the kingdom in the church today. You know, we all have this high in the sky, pie kind of ideals. And we talked about a little bit last week that the kingdom's going to descend out from heaven, right? Have anybody hear that? That the kingdom was going to descend out of heaven? Well, actually, that's called the Bride of Christ. When you look in the Revelation, it doesn't say, behold the kingdom. It says, behold the bride adorned. For her husband is descending. So the kingdom has to be something different. We know that from Scripture, when Jesus was talking about it, he said that it's not here and it's not there. That's in Luke 17:20. But it's within you. And so if they say, lo, it's over here, say, lo, it's over there, don't pay way too much attention to them, because the kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom the way that we think of kingdoms. But it's a spiritual kingdom that actually dwells inside of every human being as a seed. And until one becomes born again, that seed never starts to grow. That illumination of the kingdom doesn't start to happen. The king's within them. The kingdom was within the Pharisees, but they hadn't yet had the Spirit of God dwell in them in such a way to ignite that kingdom that they could enjoy what the kingdom truly is. Because Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14 that the kingdom is of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what is the kingdom? It's righteousness, it's peace, and joy, not of the world, not in this world, but in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom really is. It's the righteousness of God dwelling within the individual. And this week we're going to, by the grace of God, look at this another scripture that Jesus talked about in Matthew 11 and verse 12, where he says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This too has been taught a little bit different by some of the theologians and the real smarty Greek-speaking people, or they think they speak Greek. But as I talk to my Greek brother, they really don't speak Greek. They don't speak the Greek that it was supposed to. Anyhow, the truth of the matter is that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the truth is, the violent take it by force. We're going to unroll that and look into it. This is the third teaching of the kingdom principles that we're getting into today. There are things that are laid out in Scripture which would prevent you from inheriting the kingdom of God. Do you understand that, what I just said? That there are things that the Bible warns us about that will prevent you from getting into the kingdom. Right? We got, we'll talk about, by the grace of God, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start with prayer. Praise God. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And as I come before you, Father, as a vessel, really short of the power of God, I'm not worthy to open these teachings, Father. So I need you to show the body of Christ through the word of God what the kingdom truly is and how it can dwell within. Father, teach us what would stifle the kingdom within us and how we must be diligent and serious about allowing the kingdom to rise up in us in such a way we can effect the loss and the dying of this world with the truth and the righteousness that is in the kingdom. Father, we ask that you would move mighty on us and through us, that we can hear what the Spirit says today. And Lord, again, before I go into this teaching, Father, I need to be forgiven because I am a sinner. Father, I need, Lord Jesus, your righteousness to speak through me as a vessel. Father, pour your word out mightily. And Lord, let me disappear within this confines of the King James Bible. And we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. We already talked about it a little bit. We know that the kingdom of God is in righteousness. It is peace and joy in his Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 says it this way. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? We're going to park there just for a second. Do you know that the unrighteous, those who are not righteous, will not inherit the kingdom of God? All right, that means that that there is a parameter of the kingdom of God which is within every human being. And I guess I need to back that up a little bit. When Jesus said that I came and I came to save the world, right? He came to save every human being. He came to ignite the kingdom which was implanted in every human being. I want you to understand this, that no other creation on earth except the human being worships God. Animals don't worship God. They may worship their owner because you feed it, you water it, you tend it. Far as I know, I have never seen a baboon pray before it sits down to a banana dinner. If that's what they eat, I really don't know. I've never seen the goldfish, when I sprinkle the goldfish food on top of it, say, wait, well, hold on, I need to stop and worship God because the food is falling, the fish food's falling down through the tank, right? I've never seen a deer or a cow or a dog or any other animal even desire to worship anything. Now, I don't speak to the animals. I don't know how the animals communicate. I just look at the way that they are. I know that humans, all humans worship something, even if it's just themselves. All human beings, they call themselves an atheist or an agnostic or whatever, but in truth, they're worshiping a God that they've made of their own ideals. See, that deep desire to worship and to know God is a gift from God, which is implanted in every human being. I've heard it said that there's a God-sized or God-shaped lock in every human's heart, but it takes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit being born again to unlock that kingdom. There are a lot of people that say that they want to be righteous, but they don't want to have the righteousness that is written within the God, in the Bible, excuse me, I guess I could say it, God, that's written within Jesus Christ. They want to have a righteousness that's made up of their own thoughts, their own ideals, what they feel. How many have heard that recently within the last few years? Their feelings. Well, my feelings are this way, or my feelings are that way. I perceive out of my own eyes this is what truth is, regardless of what the Word of God says. And I spoke about that a few moments ago about a brother born again. I know as much as I know of anybody, I would say this man's born again. He's a servant of God. But through his much learning, or what he thinks he's learning, he's discarded the very living Word of God and trusted a Greek translator of the Word of God to be the true Word of God instead of what Jesus said. You know, because when he said, the kingdom of God really isn't in you, the kingdom of God was just near you. It's just close by. All right, well, that's not what the Bible said. That's not what Jesus said. And as much as I love him, and I get the opportunity to speak to him on Tuesday in front of a lot of folks, the kingdom of God is within you, whether you're a believer or not. That kingdom of God, I'm pretty sure I could come through Scripture and prove that it was the breath of God that entered into Adam that made him a living soul. It was the kingdom of God that would breathe the understanding, let us make man in our own image. The righteousness, the peace, and the joy in the Holy Ghost. And when he breathed into Adam the very first breath, the kingdom of God, the seed of the kingdom of God was implanted in the heart of every man. Just as the kingdom of unrighteousness, when sin entered in, was implanted in every man. Because Adam sinned, and every man since then has been born underneath the condemnation of sin. Until the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God, becomes alive in the individual. So, if you are living or you don't know what righteousness is, then biblical righteousness, not personal righteousness, all right? There's a difference. Because I know people that are morally correct. Right? They don't smoke, they don't cuss, they don't chew, and they don't hang out with those who do. But that doesn't make them born again. That doesn't make their eyes and their heart open to the righteousness of God. They have a physical righteousness, but they don't have a spiritual righteousness. So when they stand before the Lord God, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of the Father. Right? You got to be a doer of the will of God. You need to be a doer of righteousness. You need to be a doer of peace. You need to have the joy that comes from being a doer of peace and righteousness, which brings the joy through the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Not about this land coming to God or coming down to the earth, but it is indeed the kingdom that is within every human being. And I pray that I've explained that in a way that it makes it understandable. I'm not asking you to accept it. All right? I'm asking you to investigate it. Amen? And if I'm wrong, prove it. All right? Prove it through the Word. Prove it through the Bible. Don't prove it through somebody who says that they understand Greek. Don't prove it from somebody who writes a big, huge book like Chuck Missler and the Cosmic Codes and all that garbage. Okay? All that other stuff. I don't need to hear from what some other man says. Prove it through the Word of God that what I just said is incorrect. All right? And if you can, praise God. Hey, I can change. I'm not so stuck on this mountain that I can't be moved. But I'm pretty sure I'm right, for the Word of God says. And so, and know this, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This verse 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All right? Be not deceived. I like that. Don't be fooled. As he goes on, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, this is verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So there are parameters that will allow you into the kingdom of God, right? If there's things that won't allow you in, there are things that will allow you in. We know what will allow you in is being born again. Truly being born again, not just being a confessor of Jesus Christ, but being transformed into the righteousness of God, being made into the very image of God here on this earth. Now, I'm not saying that you will be Christ sinless, amen, because we know if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. That's 1 John. All right? So I must confess, I am a sinner. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I am not worthy, except for my two favorite words in the whole Bible, but God, but his righteousness, but his peace, but his joy, but his holiness dwelleth within me, not because of anything I did, except surrender. You know, the one thing that you did to make you right with God is you quit being yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you quit following the lust of your heart. You started following the righteousness of God. You stopped doing, or at least slow down. Let's say, because none of us have stopped. All right? Amen?
Our righteousness is but filthy rags.
Yeah, amen. Right? So the best we can do is like filthy rags. And if you want to know what that means, you can talk to Bill here. So in that understanding that the best we can do is something like that, we need something better. Jesus Christ is better. The indwelling power of God is better. Understanding that the kingdom of God is within everybody, and every single person has the opportunity to open up through the Word of God, the ignite, let me put it that way, to ignite from the Word of God, the kingdom of God that dwells within each person. That's why Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's an ignition. It's a lighting. It's an illumination. It's a coming alive. It's like when you have a heart attack and they take those two electronical things and they stick it on you and they zap you. Defibrillator. And so anyhow, it's like that. So you are dead. Your heart is stopped because you're born in sin, unrighteousness. And then Dr. Jesus comes. And he takes the Holy Spirit and he puts that little grease stuff on it and he sticks it to your chest and he zaps you, and all of a sudden you become alive. You become alive not because of anything you did, except you understood that you were dead and you needed to be brought to life. And Jesus sent the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the Spirit of God, to illuminate, to waken us out of our sleep that we can understand the righteousness of God. But know this, if you're still asleep, if you are unrighteous, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. In this understanding of that, the kingdom of God, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence. And if I hadn't told you the scripture that's in, I'm sorry, it's Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. But anyhow, in that scripture there that we're looking into, it has suffered violence from the time of John the Baptizer until the Holy Spirit awakens you in a real life situation that we were just talking about. And then, at that point, the violent must take it by force. All right? The violent taking it by force. We're going to look at that real quick in Matthew chapter 16 and 24. Jesus telling his disciples, all right? Say amen when you get there. Matthew 16, 24. Amen? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. All right? What are you willing to die to deny yourself from, that you might fully enjoy the kingdom of God right now? All right, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? All right? Look at those real quick, what Jesus is talking about. First, he's saying about the kingdom, if any man wants to have the kingdom awakened in himself, he needs to do what? Starts with D and ends in an I. Deny. You must deny yourself. That means the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are the three weapons that we are born with, which bring us away from the kingdom of God into our own self-righteousness, into our own mind-seeking. I must get those things under control and under the power of the Holy Ghost. So what I need to do is I need to deny the lust of my eyes. Who here says, I want what the neighbor has? It's called coveting, all right? And no coveter will be allowed into the kingdom of God. It's also the pride of, it's the lust of the eye, right? I want the newer, greater, better thing, right? And all of advertising tells you that. You got to have the newer, better, greatest, the most shiniest sneakers, right? Personally, I think moccasins are great. You know,
low cut. They're very comfortable. I think they're better than any sneaker you can wear. And they don't have some godless person like, name some basketball player.
LeBron James
tattooed on the back of them. Right? That's just one thing. So many people are desiring the dainties of the Babylonian system that they're missing the kingdom of God. They're wanting this world and the ways of this world far more than what they really want God. Real in the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, the peace of God in their life. How many folks that you know of that are always chasing the things of the world, how much peace do they have? Not much. They're always on a razor's edge. They're always angry or upset. So there's no peace in their life because they're not choosing the righteousness that God, they're not denying themselves and taking up their cross and following Him. They are doing what they want to do. They miss the peace of God. How much joy do they have in their life? I will tell you that Bill Gates has no joy. He is one of the wealthiest people, and I've seen him on interviews or Fauci or any, name a rich person. I don't even care who they are. I can't even think of names. Praise God for that.
Susan Boyle.
Yeah, Boyle. All she needs is a good Lansing. I need that snare drum. Anyhow, they're never satisfied with what they have because they're trying to find their satisfaction in these things of the lust of the eye, right? He's told to bear his cross and follow Christ. And then he says, whoever will save his life will lose it. If you try to save the things of this world, I need the bigger, the better, the more shiny, the more beautiful, the fancier, right? I need the fancier thing. I can't be satisfied with what I have because there's a new one on the market. Cell phones. I gotta have the newest, greatest, fanciest cell phone. I want a wall phone, folks. I want a phone in my house, just in my house, with an old-fashioned answering machine that has a tape in it. You know, that you record. Who? Anybody remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dial phone, right. Right? And just a phone on my wall in my house, and I will garbage this cell phone.
And I use it too.
I know, amen.
Yeah,
right?
That's a big one.
You know, where you stick it up to your ear and you talk to it. Yeah. Because it's not about this world. So many folks need their telephones to take pictures. Why? For selfies. Well, isn't that a sign of the old time, end times, that people will be lovers of themselves?
Yeah.
Right? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
We don't really need that. What we need is the righteousness. I need to lose this life that I might gain Christ. I need to lose the lust of my eyes, the pride of my life, the lust of my flesh, that I might gain the kingdom, that it might become alive in me in a real, tangible way. Because you have it, but it may not be stirred up in you because you love this world. You love adultery more than you love God. You love covetousness, drunkenness, revelries, extortionists. You love the world more than you love the kingdom. If you love this world, you can end up with it. As far as I can tell, that the world's going to burn with a fervent heat. And personally, if I want charcoal, I have a bag of Kingsford I can go grab one out of, right? I don't want this world. I want the kingdom. So I'm going to do whatever I can do to gain that kingdom. That means idolatry, and we talked about some things, clothing being an idolatrous thing, or cell phones. You may not think that a cell phone is an idolatrous thing, but if you've got to have the newest, best, greatest cell phone just so you can have more connection to Lucifer directly, you know, you might be more interested in being adulterers, effeminate, okay? I'm not going to jump on that train. Not right now. But what will you give, O man, in exchange for your own soul? The question is placed here before us, what will I give in exchange for my soul? We know that the kingdom is within us. We talked about that. And we also understand that the substance of the kingdom is righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. I hope that we got that in our hearts and our minds. Now within this coming to the illumination in our mind that the kingdom is open only to those that are brave enough to fight for it. All right, that's where we come in, that the violent take the kingdom by force. All right, since we know that I am born under sin, and the only way I get released from sin is by Jesus coming and releasing me, that starts a fight. Do you understand that? That starts a fight between your spirit and your flesh. These two are contrary to one another. They are like two wild dogs fighting each other continually. Now, I've got to fight the good fight of faith. Thank you, Lord. That's Timothy, right? I've got to fight the good fight of faith so that I would not be entangled and ensnared once again to my old lifestyle. I don't want to be that dog that goes back to the old vomit. I pray that you don't want to be that person that goes back to the old vomit. See, there's a straight gate. There's a narrow way that goes to Christ. Jesus said this in Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in at. Straight, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few be that find it. You know why so few find it? Because they're not willing to fight for it. That's why we don't find it, because we really desire the things, the dainties of Babylon, more than we desire the kingdom of God. You know, I'm saying we, I'm talking about the human race, not talking about you individually, or maybe I am. I know the problem is within me, it's not you. I've got to decide to trust and desire God more than I trust and I desire this world. I've got to want his kingdom more than this kingdom. I've got to desire to enter into that straight gate by the narrow way. How do I do that? I do that by crucifying myself, by crucifying my flesh, by wishing to walk in the righteousness of God and not in the terminal thoughts of my mind. Change the blackboard from last week. Kingdom suffereth violence. The kingdom is within you. The violent take it by force. We need to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6, 1 through 12. Open up your Bibles there. You know that this is a fight, that it's a battle. Okay, you need to take this by force. It's not going to be given to you, but what will happen, if you enter into the fight through the power and the grace and the might of Jesus Christ, he will win that fight for you. But you've got to surrender to him. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. When God fights a fight, who does all the fighting? God does. When the victory comes, who gets all the victory? He does. We're told over and over and over through the Word of God, to stand ye therefore and see the might of God. Stand and watch the power of God. Surrender your will to his will. Control the lust of my eyes, the pride of my life, and lust of my flesh. I will control those because I have power over those through the power of God that's within me. And then I will watch Jesus Christ conquer those things as I stand in obedience to his word and his righteousness.
With his armor.
With his armor. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. It's not nothing that we do. It's all about Jesus Christ. And then so, I put a lot of scripture down there, 1 through 12. That's just 12 verses, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that big. If I can just go through it, it won't be that big of a deal. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. All right? We need to defend with violence the name of God and his doctrine. How do I do that? By being humble before God. Even if we have a godless or a godly master, whatever we do that for him. and verse 2, and that they have a believing, they that have believing masters, let them also not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. The benefit is the kingdom. All right, just real quick. These things which teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud. All right? Okay, I can't just go over that without saying we need to pay attention to these things. We need to hold on to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ said the kingdom is within you, if you say that's not what it says, you're proud because you think you know Greek. No. Jesus said it. That settles it. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. The kingdom of God is within you. And you may not agree with that. Or the real smart. And it's the problem. It's the highly educated people that think they know more than what God knows. Those are the ones that are in danger of not really entering or enjoying the fullness of the kingdom of God because of their own pride, the lust of their eyes, the pride of their life, and the lust of their flesh, right? All right, and the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, wherefore cometh envy, strife, revelings, evils, and surmising. Thank you. Overthinking stuff. Surmising. All right. Preserves. Perverse. Thank you. Perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that they gain godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with content is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therein be content. Now, understanding this in the kingdom mentality. But they that will be rich fall into temptation, a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, all right, so we looked at the other side, but you, O person of God, you, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. All right, you, O man of God, we looked at the temptations that are snares of the foolish men. They drown. They have a love of money, which is the root of all evil. We already looked at the covetedness that they have, the unrighteousness that they hold into. But you, O man of God, you follow after righteousness. You now, not man's righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. All right, church, how's that settling with you? When you look at what it said in 1 Corinthians there, all right, let me go back a little bit because I want to make sure. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. How's that set with what you've been taught? Name it and claim it. Pray after me, you'll be saved. You don't have to change. Continue being an extortioner. Continue being a thief. Continue being an idolater. Continue being whatever it is that you are. Believe in your own righteousness, not the righteousness of God. Name Jesus Christ and you're going to go to heaven. That, my friend, is false doctrine. What we're told is to pursue, O man of God, flee these things. Flee these things. Flee the love of money, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. Flee those things. Get away from them. Desire holiness. Go after righteousness, godliness, faith. Who here really wants godliness? Well, let me tell you, people, it's a fight. You know, it is a fight. It is a fight within me because my flesh doesn't really want it. I may raise my hand and say yes and amen, but I know that tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and I'm going to see something that I want more than. What do I have to do at that point? I've got to fight. And I've got to fight tooth and nail.
Mortify the flesh.
Mortify. What's mortify mean?
Kill it.
Are you sure it doesn't mean just pat it and put it under the blanket? Tie it and put it in a box? No, you've got to kill it. If you're going to get the kingdom of God in its completeness, right? In its fullness, you've got to fight with everything that's in you. And it is a fight. I've got to be violent with this thing. I've got to mortify the flesh. I've got to be crucified with Christ that I might live. Not I that live, but Christ would live through me, through his righteousness, through his peace, through his joy in the Holy Spirit. That means this old man must die. And I don't know how. You got hunters, all right, amen? That animal that you shoot wants to live, right? It wants to live. It really does. Humans, they want to live. I want to live in the lust of my flesh. Listen, brother, I want that. But the truth is, you don't even enter into real life until you die to that. You know? You've got to be willing to give all of that up that I might gain Christ. Oh, man of God, fight the good fight of faith. What does it mean to fight the good fight of faith? It doesn't mean you don't do anything within yourself. Now, Jesus paid it all. I'm not saying that you're getting to heaven by works. But I am saying because you are saved, you need to fight the wiles of the devil. Right? Ephesians, right? We're talking about that, the whole armor of God. You need to put that on. Those weapons, that battle armament, right? It isn't just because you're a Christian, it's because you're willing to enter into the fight. How am I going to quench the fiery darts of the devil?
Shield of faith.
Shield of faith, all right? And how do I fight that? With whose sword?
Jesus
is the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. If I'm going to have any righteousness dwelling in me, if I'm going to have any holiness in me, I've got to fight myself. I don't need to fight the same-sex marriage folks. I don't need to fight them. I don't need to fight the child stuff that's going on. You know what I need to fight is right here. If the church would just simply remove the plank out from in front of their face, they'll be able to help the person that has a little speck in front of their face.
Amen.
See, our problem is we haven't entered into the fight of the kingdom. We're too worried about fighting, and Satan's good at that. He says, look at this hand over here, look at over here, and you forget about over here. Your fight is not of this world. In fact, we're told our weapons of our warfare are mighty and pulling down in strongholds and imaginations. What is it mighty in doing? Pulling down what? Strongholds and imaginations? Oh, well, wait, hold on. Those are things you don't see. Because the kingdom isn't over here and it's not over there, but it's within you. It's of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Understand, before we get into where Jesus starts saying, the kingdom of God is like unto, let's get a good grip of what the kingdom of God is. And then we'll go to what it's like unto. Right, because if we just do the like unto's, we can go off in a lot of different ways. But first, we need to get it settled within us. That's why Jesus told his disciples to go to the lost sheep of Israel and teach them the kingdom of God. Don't go to Samaria. Don't go to the Gentiles, but go to the church. Go to the ones who ought to know. Go to the ones who proclaim me as their Lord and Savior and explain what the real kingdom of God is, not what they imagine it is. The kingdom of God is real. It is vibrant. Psalm 118 and verse 20 says this, the gate of the Lord, this gate of the Lord, unto righteousness shall into which the righteous shall enter. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. All right? The gate of the Lord, who's going to enter it? Righteous. Only the righteous. Not the self-righteous. Not the ones who imagine vain things. It's Psalm 118, verse 20. Or we can also go to Psalm 24, verses 3 and 5. Psalm 24, 3 puts it this. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? The hill of the Lord is what? Is that not the kingdom of God? The hill of the Lord, it's the kingdom. All right. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? I.e. the kingdom. That is the holy place of God. It's the kingdom. It's within you. Who's going to stand there? All right. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. All right. Only those who have clean hands and a pure heart will stand in the kingdom of God, in the righteousness of God. Now, you inside of you right now have the kingdom of God dwelling in you. If it's not bathed in the righteousness through pure hands, okay, pure hands, then you may not enter or receive the fullness of that kingdom that's available to you. All right? Do you understand what I'm saying? That it's right, it's available. But what's going to keep me from having it? What's going to keep me from really entering into it? What's going to keep me from having the joyfulness and the peace of God? Well, the unrighteousness of me. Because my hands are not pure. My mind is not cleansed. I'm dwelling in the imagination of my mind, thinking that something that is ungodly is godly. When we start saying things like, the Greek really says this, then you're taking the holiness of God and you're smearing it with dung. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? Good. Because we need to take it back by violence. Now, it's not saying that I need to come and fight Joshua about something like that. What it does say is that I need to be secure in the kingdom that dwells within me, that what they teach doesn't affect my relationship with God. But I've got to know him well enough, and I shall not be moved from the gospel of the kingdom that is within me and that is available to me. It's available to every prostitute on the street. It's available to every drug addict on the street. It's available to every person that's caught in drugs and alcohol. The kingdom is available. You've just got to want the righteousness of God bad enough to fight for it. And it's not to fight the folks who sell alcohol. It's to fight the alcoholic within me that wants to get drunk. Right? The fight's here. And I've got to take it here with violence within myself. I've got to know who I am in Christ Jesus in such a way that I desire him more than any of the dainties of this world. Now, there's nothing wrong with having stuff, and I don't want you to think that I'm one of those guys that says you got to sell everything, move to the woods, and live as a beaver, right? Eat only bark. No, that's not what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with having the blessings of this world through Christ Jesus. But when you make that a God unto itself, and you start worshiping that more than the God of the Bible, then you have forfeited the kingdom of righteousness within your own heart. That's the fight I've got to fight. I've got to fight it every day. And I've got to fight it with violence. Jesus said in John chapter 3, and we all know John 3:16, right? How about 3 and 5? Just 3 and 5, those two real things real quick. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you got to be? Born again. Right? Verily, verily, verse 5 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I think that's pretty plain.
Amen.
I think Jesus said that, and I don't care what the Greek says. I think Jesus spoke Aramaic anyhow, right? I believe that. Verily, verily means truthfully, truthfully, truly, truly. Listen, when Jesus says, listen up, this is the truth, you need to listen up. You must be born again, or you can't even understand, you can't see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Even though the kingdom of God is within you, you won't enter into it because you haven't surrendered your heart, your life, your unrighteousness to the righteousness of God. You haven't surrendered your anger, your angst, your violence to the peace of God. You haven't surrendered your lust, your desires, the lust of your eyes, the lust of your flesh, and the pride of your life to the joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the seed of Satan that dwells within the church of Jesus Christ. And until we get a grip of the kingdom, until we really see that, we will never enter in to the kingdom of God.
First, we got to be covered in the blood.
Amen. You must be born again. Amen. You've got to be covered in. You've got to be in a spot so surrendered. I guess, and that is the best word I can think of. It's surrender to His will, not my will. It's surrender to His love, not my love. It's surrender to His righteousness, not my righteousness. I must love Him more than I love this life. Unless you love me more than you love your mom, your dad, your brothers and sisters. How many times have I said that? Unless you do, you cannot be my disciple. Not, don't be my disciple. Jesus said that, okay? Jesus said, unless you love me more than you love your mama, your daddy, your brothers and sisters, and yes, even your own life, if you don't love me more than that, you cannot be my student, my disciple. Who here wants to be the disciple of Jesus? Amen. You better kill your flesh. Amen. You better kill your flesh. It's not that you can't love your mom and dad and your kids. Or your brothers and so you can love them. But if you love them more than God, then you have missed the kingdom of God. Amen. You've missed the righteousness, the holiness of God. See, until we get that under our belt, until we really understand that with a deep sincerity, we're going to miss the straight gate. We're going to miss the narrow way. We haven't even got to Galatians 5, 16 through 21. The flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary to one another. That is where the violent got to take it by force. Jesus paid it all. Amen. Amen. When He died on the cross, He paid it all. When He said, it is finished, it is finished. You know what He didn't kill? Me. He didn't kill my will. He didn't kill my lust. He covered it, but He didn't kill it. But He gave me the power to destroy it through His power. He granted me the signet ring of the Most High God that I can put a period on that and I can be holy, not sinless, but I definitely can sin less. Not sinless, not without sin dwelling in me, but I do not have to be a servant of the sin that dwelleth within me. Because of Jesus Christ. Because of the kingdom.
Yeah. Even Paul struggled with
that. Yeah. Yeah. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Romans chapter 7. I thank God through Jesus Christ.
Things He wills to do, He doesn't. Things He wills not to do, He does.
He does. Amen. Now, do you want it? Do you?
Three times he asked God to remove it.
Yeah. Amen.
His grace was sufficient.
Sufficient. Amen. My grace is sufficient. Jesus, again, do you think, this is Matthew 10:34, do you think that I have come to send peace into the earth? I came not to send peace, but a sword. Amen. All right. Do you think that really Jesus came to make it all smooth and better without a fight? No. I came to give you the weapons to fight against the sin nature of mankind. Now, Jesus conquered sin when He took sin on Himself. But what He didn't conquer is your free will. And you've got to want that. You gotta want that so bad that you're willing to fight for it. Willing to fight for your daughter? You're willing to fight for your wife? You're willing to fight for your kids, your wife? All right? You're willing to fight for your loved ones? How about for the righteousness of God? And I don't have to fight the world for that. I got to fight me for that. Because the kingdom of God is within me. And what's stopping the kingdom of God from flourishing in me is me. It's you. It's your heart's desire. You wanting the dainties of this world more than you want the righteousness of God. Church, be holy because He's holy. Ignite the kingdom of God through the power of God that is within you. Through righteousness. Because the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. A lot of folks are going to, I've heard it before. Oh, that was such a great sermon. Don't tell me that. If it was, don't tell me that. You know why? I will see it in another week or in a month. If this kingdom of God is really infecting you, affecting you, and wanting the righteousness, the holiness of God to come out of you, it will show in your life. Don't tell me what a great sermon. I don't like that because it puffs me up. It makes my head get big. Oh, I'm such a great sermonator. I'm here to pump you up. I'm the sermonator. That's horrible. I can tell that the end is near, right? When I start seeing things like that. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Because it's not about what I say if the Spirit of God doesn't infect you and affect your life. It's all just words. I just wasted an hour of your life that you can never get back. Unless you surrender to what the Word of God said to you. Unless you fight the good fight of faith. Unless you take the kingdom of God with violence. I don't know if you've ever heard about the kingdom of God being taken with violence preached quite that way. I've heard it preached a lot of ways. I don't know if I've ever heard it quite like that. I'm glad I'm not smarter than the Bible. We talked about this, and I will close with this, if the Lord will let me. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. In my life. All right. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All right, I'm walking in the flesh. You walking in the flesh? I got to enter into this warfare, but not with the things of my body. I've got to use the things of God. Because my weapons, what I'm going to warfare with, they're not carnal. It's not fisticuffs. It's not verbal arguing. It's not foolish talking. It's not believing in some theologian's ideal about what the Word of God says. The fight is within me. I need to pull down imaginations. Not the imaginations of the world, but the imaginations of my mind. Is what Jesus said real or not? The kingdom of God is in you. ESV says with you. New King James is among you. Or NIV is among you. No. Those are perversions of God's word. It's twisting it up to make it something so much less than what it really is. And yeah, Jesus said that to a sinner like me. Or to a Pharisee. It's within you. Do you want it ignited? Light the fuse. Light the fuse. Pull down the imaginations with the weapons of your warfare. You know what those weapons are? Again, we could go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, right? We can go back there. But we're not going to because it's already, I've been talking for a long time. But nobody's fallen asleep. Praise God! That means I can go on. I'm going to talk to y'all going to Num Num Land. Again, when I get talking like that, I know that the end is here. I love you, and I want you to know the kingdom of God. Before we get into the teachings in Matthew chapter 13, we need to know that this kingdom of God is something different than what we may have imagined it all these years. Mm-hmm. Yep. That it is more spiritual than it is physical. And if any physical part is in it, it's because of my imagination. And I need to pull down that imagination. I need to pull down my carnal lusts, eyes, mind, and heart. Right? I have got... Jesus gave me the power to do it. The only thing that's between you and that... Well, what I was told, or I used to before I fought people a lot, is the only thing standing in between you and me is air and opportunity. Don't let the air stop you, because I'm about ready to stomp you. I got to say that to myself. The only thing that's standing in between me and the kingdom of God living and thriving in me is air and opportunity. The opportunity for righteousness is here. It's in God's word. Don't let the prince of the power of the air stop you. Turn to Christ. Holy. Hey, we're coming up on Christmas. And these are really jingle bell kind of sermons. Folks, again, I love you. I'm going to pray. I got to hush. And dear Father, I thank you. I praise you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness, your righteousness. Lord, as we come before you, I pray that we desire the kingdom of God to explode in us. Teach us your righteousness, Lord God, that we would not sin against you. Teach us your word, that we would not stray off the path of righteousness. Lord, take your word and hide it in our heart, Lord, that we might not sin against you. Father, make us a people that are holy, set apart for your good work, offering up spiritual sacrifices, Lord, that are acceptable to God. Lord, I ask that you would do that in us, through us, for your glory. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask these things and so many more in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.
Curtis,
yes?
Could you tell me that last scripture reference? I think it's
1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 6.
Thank you.
Okay.